Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 12, for a second time since we lost the last episode. And I'm Jason Webster, where there are our other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jay Cranston.
What's up, guys? Fellas?
What's happening?
Hopefully this one will proceed to be...
recorded?
Yes.
Yes.
Technology is not really working out with us right now.
Yeah, we're struggling a little bit.
It's very frustrating.
But it is Victory Tuesday.
Yes, Victory Tuesday.
Yep.
Big victory.
It was a good victory.
May have been one of the most lopsided games this week. I think they smoked them.
I think it was right up there, yeah.
Yeah, they smoked them.
Yeah, and the way we went about this victory was flawless.
It really was.
From start to finish, but after the first score that the Raiders came down and scored on us, after that, it was pretty much we didn't look back and we dominated that game. So
yeah, it's kind of like you're watching a movie, you think it's a horror story, come to find out it's a comedy.
Right.
Because as we know, Raiders march on a field, score a touchdown, Bills go 3-and-out, and I'm pulling my hair out, which is don't have a ton of, but as my son would attest since we watched the game together, I was a little bit frustrated at that first series.
To let people peek behind the curtain a little bit, I believe his words were, I might have to go home and watch the game there. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Well, dude, you and 65,000 other people at the stadium, I was at the game, and when they went down and scored, you should have heard the people around me, my man.
Oh, man, I can imagine,
It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
And that would have been bad in and of itself. But then their first series, one thing we've complained about before is James Cook running up the middle.
Right.
And even though our podcast did not record, we had a conversation about that. In our very first series, our first two plays are run straight up the middle. James Cook, total of 5 yards, incomplete pass later, we're punting. And our first series in our first home game in 2023. And they had already scored 7, and I'm thinking, damn, this is not a good way to start a game.
It was not good. And I said to my uncle, after Vegas drove down and scored, I'm like, all right. I go, we can't go 3-and-out here.
Yeah, the only thing we can't do is go 3-and-out.
And we go 3-and-out, and it was just the buzz of the crowd, man. So, you know, Tequila Spikes came out. He was the legend of the game. He, you know, did the whole... Oh, hey, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody was pumped up. They did a flyover with it looked like almost like a B-52 bomber.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but it looked like
one. I've seen it on a clip. Yeah. I've seen it on a clip.
Huge. And it's just that feeling, you know, football is back here in Buffalo. And so, then
it's like the stadium starts to vibrate or something, right? Like
it was just the feeling was awesome. Like it should be. And then when they score that touchdown, everybody just went, whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just it deflated it, but it got right back up to where it needed to be after they started scoring touchdowns. So
yep,
but it was like come on.
That's what I mean. It started out like a horror story, and then ultimately the Bills took over the game.
Yeah,
I mean just straight out took over the game on offense, defense. It was over probably by the end of the first quarter. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
And then you worry, right, that sometimes after the half, things can change.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like, you know, that something just goes off and it's different now.
Yep.
But then they come out and fucking, what did they have total, the other team? It was something like they had 3 offensive plays or something in the third.
Well, the crazy part is,
it was insane.
Oddly enough, almost like you planned for this, I actually took a look at the drives that both teams had, right? So the longest drive they had was 9 plays for Vegas. 9. The next longest was 6. So the Bills had a 3-and-out to start the game. They had a 4-play drive at the kneel down to end the game. In between that, they never had a single fucking drive less than 6 plays. It was 7 or more the entire game. And I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drives. Of 7 or more plays. In Vegas, other than that one play, that one series where they had 9 plays, they never had more than 6. Like, they were dominated by our defense. And obviously, our offense had drives of 13, 15, 12, 9. You know what I mean? they were dominant on offense, like on both sides of the ball. We took over the game.
Yeah, and with Josh having trouble, you know, I don't even know if you could qualify it as trouble yet. We don't have enough of a example size, but he obviously isn't doing great at throwing the long ball the way he used to for whatever reason.
Right.
So you need a shitload of drives to get down the field, but if it works, it works.
Yeah, you know, do what you gotta as far do. As plays, you're going to have more plays when move you're playing the short game, move the chains, but... I mean, it was almost exactly what they needed to do, right?
It was. And we're going to find the rhythm for Josh to be able to get the deep pass, the long balls, eventually back into this offense. The thing is there's every team is going to play that shell defense on us. They're going to play that cover two defense and try to keep everything in front of them.
Just take away what you want to do. That's what you're supposed to do as a defensive coordinator, right? Take away what the other guy's good at.
You got to, yeah. And I mean, we played Pat Mahomes like that. You know, the Raiders, when they play Pat Mahomes, they play him like that. But the thing is when you have a team playing a cover two shell like that on you, the biggest way to combat that and make them pull up on you is run the ball on them.
Right.
And we started running the ball on them, getting chunk yards. Josh was able to get. The biggest thing that I really liked about this game, guys, is Josh Allen under center and play action.
Yeah, we talked
about
that a little bit.
Because we're getting chunk yards, but if you can get Josh under center and we have that 12 personnel, you got extra blockers in there when we run the ball. You got guys that can leak out like Kincaid and Knox and guys that can leak out on a play action. And that stuff works very well to stretch out a defense and then pull them back in when you're running the ball. And
well, your play action is more effective.
Big time.
Right?
Big time.
And if you've got a running game, it's like bonus. And frickin' James Cook was on fire. Like on fire.
He was on fire.
Outside runs were fantastic.
Mr. Ken Dorsey was on fire that game.
Congratulations, Ken.
Yeah. Mr. Dorsey. You did a very, very good
100%.
And also, Sean McDermott. I mean, we had issues on both offense and defense that needed to be worked out.
Right.
Put confidence back in the stands for the fans. And it worked. I mean, they fucking both nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And
Josh, the players have to execute, right? I mean, they do.
Oh, yeah. Josh executed. He played, quote unquote, growing up football. Like,
big time.
Like people have been asking him to do.
Yep.
We don't want to see this version of Josh every single week. I mean, what I mean by that is we want to be able to get the Josh Allen that can make big plays down the field, too.
Right.
You know, we really need that type of Josh as well. But if we can get the Josh Allen that can be very efficient in short yardage, keeping patient, getting the ball to his playmakers.
Take shots when he has somebody open.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because Micah Hyde was mic'd up for this game, and I don't know if you caught it, but he was talking about on that pass to Gabe Davis when Josh is scrambling towards the sideline.
When he was rolling out?
Yeah, and Micah Hyde said, he's like, don't throw it. Touchdown! Like, the whole time he's like, don't throw it.
Yeah.
Okay, touchdown. All right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the Josh Allen that we all like, that exciting play where his stuff breaks down and he can make stuff happen.
Well, Shakir's touchdown, another difficult pass, in the middle of the scrum, all of a sudden a ball comes flying out like a rocket as he's basically going backwards.
Yeah, he was kind of working his way out of the end zone a little bit.
Yeah, well, Josh Allen's like backing up, throws a rocket to fucking Shakir, in a tight window.
And was that the one where touchdown. He was kind of like almost falling over too?
Yes,
it was like a very awkward throw.
Yeah, he had to like throw around a lineman and shit. It was like just not.
And it's one of those throws that's who he is. It's
right.
It's a kind of throw only he can make. There's Correct. Very few quarterbacks who can pull that off.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Very few.
Yeah,
and I also like to give another big kudos to Spencer Brown, man.
Again, he fucking looks fantastic.
The things
this time.
That needed Seriously, to be though. Corrected were perfected.
Yeah.
I mean, to an extent.
Jay, did you
hear tell him the story, dude.
Did you hear how they worked him in practice?
No.
Spencer Brown. So they took Jonathan Kinsley, he's a practice squad DN
big dude
that they kept on the roster, and they put Max Crosby's jersey number on him, number 98. And I guess Jonathan Kinsley was in the film room and watched all these moves that Max Crosby does and emulated everything and just went at Spencer Brown hard
during practice
and did everything that he thought Max Crosby would bring to Spencer Brown.
Holy shit.
And it worked.
Dude, Max Crosby had a very frustrating day.
Yeah, we talked about the two things we had to worry about were Max Crosby and the run game. Yep. And we shut down the run almost entirely. I mean, it was insane how well we shut down
it's
the run.
I don't. I what was we talked stat? About it. Something about like it's only 11th time in history that a
since the merger, 11 times in NFL history since the merger that a running back has been held to negative yards, and that was one of them.
Right.
It's bonkers.
And was it the only time that the previous year they were running champion, right? Like
he led the league in rushing last year.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, I think it might be the only time that the previous rushing champion was held to negative yards.
That's nuts.
Dude, in a game the following season.
He had like 1,600 yards rushing last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were watching the game talking about, wait, he only has negative. It was like negative 3 yards. Like, yeah, what the hell?
And while we were talking
about it, he went to negative 5. I'm like, what is happening yeah. right now? I've never seen this in my life.
It was crazy. I was watching on my phone, and at one point he had negative 9 yards, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really
hard to believe. Like I said, that just dominant, you know.
Well, we doubled
Garoppolo
them up.
Couldn't do much.
No, we doubled them up in yards per for the total yards in the game. We had 450. They had 250. They had obviously, I don't know if Garoppolo had
170 yards maybe or something. I think Devontae Adams had like 90. He was the only one that did anything all day.
Well, so somehow they had 55 yards rushing. So that was either, that must have been maybe they're back at the end
there
of the game.
There was one of the running backs that wasn't Josh Jacobs. I think he did tear off one run
number
for 34. Like
yeah.
One run for like 40 yards or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they could probably have got there with maybe Garoppolo or somebody else, one of the wide receivers and maybe a sweep of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. They had, so they ended up with total of 55 yards rushing, and Garoppolo had a whopping 185 yards passing. Yeah. So it was just a day. I mean, we held them 3 of 7 on third down. I mean, it was a good day. Three turnovers. We didn't sack him.
No, but he was constantly under some sort of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good day. Like you said,
it was.
We were getting pressure up the middle. Ed Oliver had a good day.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was basically spent most of the day in the backfield.
Yep.
You know, it just seemed like a really good day.
Mr. Jason here picked Josh Allen as his offensive player of the game, and Josh actually won the offensive player of the game. Kudos to you, Jay.
Yeah.
You know, I think
Offensive player of the week.
I think you won a prize.
We talked about how there's this theory that when he has a really bad game, it's kind of the best time to watch him because he almost beats himself up and comes back really strong.
Right.
And I think, you know, again, small sample sizes, but it seemed to work this time.
Well, that's going to be the key, right, is let's see what happens going forward starting this very week. I'm hoping the Bills aren't looking past Washington at this point. They are 2-0.
You can't.
And they've preached one game at a time since Sean McDermott's been here, so I really don't think they would. But Miami's on the horizon, and that's going to be a big one. But, yeah, Washington is 2-0, man. I mean, they're 2-0. Personally, I think it's a little bit of a mirage, I think, possibly.
Yeah.
To the effect that they beat Arizona and Denver.
Like two my teams. Fantasy team. My 2-0 is a bit of a mirage.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's two teams that haven't won a game at all, either.
Yeah, the thing is, too, when you look at the Commanders, there's some really top-tier talent on that team, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got talent.
Like, when you look at, you know, their defensive line, Jeff, they have four former first-round picks on that defense.
They talked about that last year, too.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is you can't take them lightly when you guys
nope.
when you got, like, Jared Allen or Jonathan Allen. You got Daron Payne. You got Montez Sweat. And you got Chase Young, dude. I mean, that's
formidable line.
So you got
I think their weaknesses fall beyond that. I think they are a team that you can throw the ball against.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. They're a team where I think if we can go into this game against the Commanders and have the same type of offensive philosophy that we had against the Raiders,
right?
I think we win this game, and I think we win it pretty handily. We can't get into, you know, a battle like we did with the Jets defensive line because their defensive line. And the Jets defensive line is very comparable in talent.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I just think that if we try the same type of game plan that we did against the Jets, we could have some issues. If we if we can do what we did against the Raiders, you know, put Josh under center, mix in Damian Harris, mix in Latavius Murray.
Well, and mix up the play call.
Exactly. The different personnel. That rollout
for the touchdown to Dawson Knox was awesome. You know what I mean? And a difficult play, but it was wide open.
Right.
Like, there was nobody there.
And pop quiz, how many people caught a ball for the Bills on that game?
Had to be 8-9 guys.
9 wide receivers caught a ball.
Nine wide receivers or nine? Oh, so you're talking about running backs, tight ends, receivers.
Well, total. Nine people received 9 different people. Catch.
Yeah. Okay,
so point being, you're really confusing a defense, man, when you do that. And I think we talked about in the first game, a lot of the problem is we just had a lack of variety and a lack of ability to, you know, adapt and things like that. I think just throwing a shitload of stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks worked out pretty well for us this past game.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Latavius Murray had a touchdown. You know, short yardage, pounded a couple of guys and bounced off and got into the end zone. Like, Damian Harris got a touchdown. I know. Like, what a nice mix of plays, players. Yeah, it was just a really good, well thought out.
We talked about that before. I mean, you and I, Jeff, like, constantly we're sitting down and we're just yapping about the Bills like we do probably 90% of our conversations during the day.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we always talk about the insane amount of talent this team has on offense.
Oh, yeah.
The guys they brought in. And how we need to get them involved. We can't always just have Josh and Shotgun doing a quick little, you know, RPO and then trying to find Diggs. And then his, you know, he's not open. And then it's, you know, the line breaks down. Josh is scrambling. It's just that's what it always seemed like against the Jets. It's nothing was like different. It always felt the same. When you go to the Raiders game and you watch, just like Jay said, like, guys, you had 9 different guys catch the ball. We had the 3-back system going.
Yep.
We had
Shakir had 1 target, 1 catch, 1 touchdown.
Right. I mean, Gabe Davis.
How do you plan for that, huh?
Yeah. No kidding.
Right. Gabe Davis had 2 catches against the Jets. He had the Raiders.
2 fantastic catches.
Right.
That touchdown was awesome, but the one I'm trying to remember, it was closer to midfield, where he leaped up in the air, and I think that might have been 3rd or 4th down, maybe.
That was nice.
Like, he had to go way up for that.
Yep.
But he brought it down.
It's just that the style of offense that we're able to bring.
So what do you think? What do you think our defense has to watch out for this game?
Well, I think the biggest threat is probably Brian Robinson, the running back, right?
I'd actually have to say McLaurin.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin, sure. That's a good one, too.
He's good. He's sneaky good.
Sam Howell has yet to lose a game. I mean, in 3 games. So
Sam Howell's good, but he's not great and he's young.
Right.
The biggest thing that I like with this matchup, in my opinion, is we faced this style of offense already. The personnel is different, but the offense is the same. He came from the Chiefs. We played the Chiefs a bunch. We know kind of what style he's bringing. It's just now the personnel is different. So I think we can match up fairly well. I think we can bring pressure. They don't have a great offensive line. Sam Howell isn't a super mobile quarterback.
Right.
I think if we can dominate as far as the run game again, which I think we can, force them to be one-dimensional and throw the ball, I think we have a similar field day like we did against the Raiders.
Well, I think that was the Raiders' biggest problem is they had no answer. They could not figure out a way to adapt to what we were doing.
Well, again, it's there are some similarities on offense between Washington and the Raiders. They basically have one really good receiver in McLaurin, right? I don't even know who their second and third guys are anymore. I don't even remember. But Garoppolo is, in my opinion, somewhat of a middling quarterback. And then you got Howell, who's pretty young. But they both have good running backs. At least, like I said, Robinson so far, but they couldn't do much against the Bills. So
yeah, and just to answer your question, Terry McLaurin has 7 grabs for 85 yards so far this year. So okay, they also have a gentleman by the name of Curtis Samuel.
Oh yeah,
respect,
I forgot about him.
Respectable receiver.
Sure.
Not a huge guy, not a field burner, but decent.
Yep.
They also have a ex-Bill on their team. As a tight end. Any guesses, guys? Any guesses the name? Logan Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Ex-Bill. Well,
that's going back a little bit.
Yep. So he is their tight end. He's a big guy. He's a guy that can cause trouble down the seam. He's a 6'7" target. So they have a few playmakers, and then they also have a guy that you remember as well from Penn State, wide receiver, Jahan Dotson. So
he shows a lot of promise.
Yeah. And then to have another tie to Buffalo, who did we try to sign? And then he said, I think I'm going to stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson.
Right. Right.
So just, you know, there's a couple, they have some.
Was it Gibson? No, it was, what the frick's the other guy's name? I know who you're talking about too. Yeah, it was,
Antonio Gibson?
No. It was the receiving back you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was like McKinney or something like that, or I don't remember.
I thought it was Antonio Gibson. Maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I know exactly what you're talking about. The Bills do have some ties to this team.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Right.
And it's going to be an interesting game. It's on the road. It's in D.C. Now they're talking about possibly some wind or rain, maybe. So that'll kind of mix things up a little bit for Buffalo. But I do think they're going to win this game handily. Yeah. Like I said, Washington has played two teams that have yet to win a game. Now it's only a couple weeks in.
Mm.
I get it. It's early.
Small sample sizes again.
Yeah, but it's Denver and Arizona. And I would argue Arizona may be, especially without Kyler Murray, one of the worst teams in the NFL, maybe. And Denver certainly is having its issues. I mean.
Yeah, Denver's not showing like they're much, much improved from last year. I can say that. In my eyes, anyway, I don't think they are yet.
I agree 100%.
Will they be by the end of the year? I'd have to say possibly, but I don't know.
I don't know either, man.
Yeah.
They have some real problems there.
They do.
But, and I think, didn't they come back and almost tie that game?
Yeah, from the Hail Mary.
Yeah, right, right. The two-point conversion didn't work,
saw that, right?
They would have tied it, yeah.
Did you see that, Jay?
Yeah.
Denver's Hail Mary?
No.
So Denver was, I don't know, where were they? Like their 40, maybe?
Midfield, yeah, somewhere around midfield.
And there was, I don't know what, like 8 seconds left?
It wasn't
like
much. It was very little.
And Russell Wilson just chucked one as far as he could. Maybe got to about the, I don't know, 8-yard line or something?
Right.
Guy tips it up, goes up. Another Denver guy catches it and waltzes at the end zone. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. Now it's a ball game. They had to get a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, so the score was then 35-33. All they needed was a 2-point conversion, and they didn't get it.
Yeah,
that was pretty crazy.
So talk about a waste of a Hail Mary. Like, you don't get many of those, and very rarely are they successful.
Yeah, I mean, going into this game, the Bills, I don't think they've played there as a Sean McDermott team yet, because Josh never has.
Josh has never played against Washington,
right?
In D.C.
Yeah, so I don't think the Bills with McDermott as a head coach have.
I doubt it. He was only there a year prior, right. So yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, so that's a kind of a new, like, little new look for him. Josh, I guess in the interview today after practice, they asked him, "Hey, Josh, since you haven't played in Washington yet, you know, it's a new stadium for you. What do you look for when you go into a new stadium?" He's like, "Well, you know, you get onto the field, you want to feel the turf or the grass, you know, just get a feel for what that's like, the footing, this type of stuff." I look for the play clock, and he's like, that's kind of it. Like, everything else is pretty normal.
You find out what beer they serve, get a hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
First thing the important things.
Yeah. Where do I go to throw up, probably?
Yeah. That's as important one.
Yeah, what's that part look like? But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
So we kind of skipped ahead. We reviewed last week's game. We kind of already kind of touched on this week's game.
I think
game.
We pretty much, we're good.
Yeah. So we did want to cover some things that happened in the league we talked about. So do you want to do that? And then we'll wrap it up with our picks and scores.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week was I had noticed that there's a unusual amount of running backs that are kind of fucked up already, only 2 weeks in.
Yeah, and it's...
It seems like it's a bit of a curse.
It almost seems like it's on cue with the conversations that are taking place and the value of running backs. Like, running backs want to get paid. And when you see things like what happened to Nick Chubb, my first reaction is, yeah, they fucking should get paid, man. Like, their bodies are punching bags, man.
I mean, they're getting hit constantly.
I
can obviously see it from that perspective that their risk is so huge. But you think of it from the other side of it, like, you know, insurance and all that kind of stuff. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, or even the fact that, like,
Do you want to pay someone $150 million and have them drop out in, you know, a year?
Well, that's it. Like, Derrick Henry, I mean, he spent time injured. Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, you know. He's actually got a label of being a risk injury-wise, even though he played the entire season last year, I think. I don't think he missed a game last year. But prior to that, he had regularly. So the conversation is there a tremendous amount of value for one of these guys above and beyond the next 10 or 20 guys? Are they that much more valuable to be worth 50% or maybe even twice what that next guy might be? The Bills have adopted a program where so far they'll draft a running back second and third round so far. And if contract time comes and they get a big contract, they get a big contract. The Bills aren't going to match it. So, in fact, I don't think Singletary didn't even get a big contract.
But
they let him walk in lieu of the fact they had James Cook waiting in the wings to have his shot at a starting role, and they gave it to him.
Yeah, that was, I mean, drafting James Cook was a great draft.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously.
Not even to mention the fact that now he just ripped off a 100-yard season that the Bills typically don't have a rusher.
Yeah.
Or a 100-yard game.
100-yard game, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, it's,
I mean, for the Bills, a 100-yard season isn't that far off.
That's true.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like a good – wanting to pay a good running back in the NFL is kind of like wanting to buy a really nice house in Florida.
Right.
You know, it's like you the house is really nice. It's in Florida. Maybe it's on the beach, you know.
Right.
Maybe it's just it's like a perfect spot to go. But then it's like, a hurricane may come through and total the motherfucker.
Right, right.
You know?
And now you might not even be able to get insurance on the fucking thing.
Yep. Right. So it's like that, to me, is kind of like an NFL running back. Yeah. It's like you got a real nice and shiny running back that, you know, it can offer you a lot. But if he takes a helmet to the knee like Chubb did.
Well, that's the weird part.
That wasn't even
the first time that happened to him, really.
Right.
I mean, he had a horrible injury a couple years ago, right?
In college, when he was in college at Georgia, I think it was, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a similar injury, I think, to the same knee. But what I was going to say is, like, if you look at his salary or Saquon Barkley's salary or one of those guys' salaries, here you've got the Buffalo Bills with arguably three number one running backs. Damian Harris was a number one in New England.
Out of what college?
Alabama.
You know that we don't care about college football.
I just like throwing it out there just because I feel good that I know it.
How about Latavius Murray? I don't know where he went to college either.
I don't know why. They've
both been number one running backs in the NFL. Latavius Murray's now 33. Damian Harris is young, but they moved on because they got Ramondre Stevenson in New England. But they literally have three starting running backs.
Pretty much on their team,
and for less than what they're paying Saquon Barkley or Nick Chubb.
Absolutely. And I like what Josh said today in his presser after practice. He said Latavius Murray is, you know, an older player in this league now. He's been around. He's seen a lot of things. The value that he brings to our offense, not just him carrying the ball, but
experience,
his knowledge of what he can see, what he can tell me what he sees, or, you know, that's huge. And that's why you want certain guys on your roster like that.
I guess that might be the problem with having a new running back every 3-4 years or whatever, is that they're always the young guys that are leading your team. But we had Frank Gore. We had Shady McCoy. We have Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
We've had guys that have come in and had important roles that were veterans in this league.
Yeah, if you could supplement that young talent with a couple good vets.
Yep.
That's huge. I mean, Damian Harris has been in the league, what, 4 years?
Yeah, about 4 years.
So, I mean, he's got some knowledge behind him.
For sure.
And plus, I mean, you're able to pass that knowledge over to James Cook.
Right.
And
the Bills have done it in other positions too, obviously, with Von Miller and guys on the offensive line. They brought in veterans there. So, I think this is something that probably is part of their DNA, part of their makeup, and that's the plan going forward, is to supplement talent with maybe a lesser talent, but that's experience that can bring other things to the table beyond just play.
Well, and also, you know, there are teams that are still operating old school football where that's, they got one guy, he's going to play 90% of the time,
right?
Bring someone in for the red zone, whatever. But like, we're not doing that. We have guys that are there for specific things, specific plays, and you know, then they get to sit and rest for a while, so they're always fresh. Right. Like, there's a lot of advantages to doing it the way that we're doing it.
Well, it's funny because running backs are so different than like wide receivers. Like, I mean, if you remember the last couple of years, wide receivers have been paid huge money. Tyreek Hill to go to Miami and Devontae Adams to go to the Raiders. Right. And guys like that are getting paid very well.
Well, and
to
I
go
think,
to a new team.
I think the reason is because a wide receiver cannot do what he does without the right quarterback and vice versa. You have to have that perfect pairing in order to get the success. Whereas with a running back, you know, you just pick a guy and it doesn't matter who's handing him the ball. I mean, he's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, so if you get that fucking formula perfect where you've got the right combo, it's almost harder to keep it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny because those two examples, Devontae Adams goes from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. And then Tyreek Hill goes from Pat Mahomes to Tua. But Tyreek Hill is saying how much more accurate Tua is than Patrick Mahomes when he gets there. Maybe that's just to make his quarterback feel better. I don't know. But Tyreek Hill is still playing at a very high level. I mean, he had 200 yards his first game this year with Tua under center. So I don't know if he ever had 200 yards with Patrick Mahomes, probably. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
There's less options for Tua to throw to as well. So I think that obviously plays into it, too.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got Waddle. He's got a couple of guys that can play. But yeah, you're right. It's not exactly the same circumstance, not even close. But like Dalvin Cook was highly successful with Minnesota for a number of years. Now he's basically splitting a backfield in New York on the Jets. And they're just before our podcast or during our podcast, we saw that Cam Akers has been traded to the Vikings now.
Right.
So they obviously aren't content with their running back situation after losing Dalvin Cook this year.
Another injury-prone back being traded, though. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's tough. I mean,
they're just constantly moving, you know?
Well, it's a bit of a grinder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know how you figure it out. Because, like I said, I don't know if teams are willing to put in a ton of money to what ultimately will probably be an injury risk all the time. Like, running backs, like I say, they get hit harder and more than anybody else on the field. So there's always going to be a risk of injury. So they don't really want to dish out a ton of money like the Bills
and
or a running
back. And you
don't
want to be singularly reliant on that.
Because right,
if you
exactly.
lose one guy, you're done.
Yeah, especially most teams have figured out that depth is huge. Like, depth is important. The Bills, obviously, if something happens to James Cook, God forbid, they still have two really good running backs. Will they miss a beat? For sure. But they still have two really good running backs that can come in and spell them. Where right now, I don't know what they're talking about in New York, the Giants for Barkley, Nick Chubb. We saw a gentleman by the name of Ford. I can't remember his first name, Jerome Ford or something like that.
Something like that, yep.
Seemed to do a pretty good job, but it's one game. Like, how is he going to do over the course of the whole year?
Yeah, well, they're talking about bringing Kareem Hunt back again.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's kind of a retread at this point.
Right. You know, that's a perfect example of now you've got Cam Akers, who was a running back, starting running back week one. Backup comes in, does a great job. So he sits week two. He's inactive and now traded to another team. And then you've got that situation. Kareem Hunt doesn't even have a job, but probably figures that, hey, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to want me somewhere.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a team that he played with when the last time he played.
Oh, yeah.
If he was waiting for someone to get injured, he did a pretty good job. There's a lot of people that
I know.
That.
Yeah.
I know. And then you got backs like Bijan Robinson coming in and, like, all, you know, it looks like he's going to take this league by storm, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then the thing is like,
for how long?
Let's say he ends up with 1,600 yards rushing this year.
Right.
I mean, awesome. That's huge, right? But when his contract comes into play, he's going to want to get paid.
Yep.
who's going to want to pay him top dollar when
$20 million a year?
He's 4 years into his you know, contract already.
And now he has more wear and tear on the body, too.
Right.
He all of a sudden becomes more susceptible to injury because he's got, what, maybe 800 to 1,000 carries under his belt in the NFL under constant pounding.
Now, is it just a perception or is it like a real thing? But doesn't it seem like running backs back in the 90s, you know, you take guys like Thurman Thomas, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. Now, they took their lumps because the game was different then. It was more of a ground and pound type thing.
Right.
They had their injuries. All those guys had injuries. But doesn't it seem like backs nowadays, their life is just a lot shorter than those guys were? Yeah. And it's opposite of what it was. Like, these running backs aren't getting the carries those guys got.
Right.
You know, so is it...
It's weird because, like, I think about Thurman Thomas, who actually led the league, I think, two consecutive years in yards from scrimmage.
Right.
Because he was a threat to catch the ball, even back then.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that helped him stay healthy. I don't remember major injuries to Thurman Thomas, like you said. Maybe it was grass fields. I don't know.
I almost wonder if it is some sort of a thing about like fitness and like the capability of these guys to be kind of monsters now, whereas back then there weren't as many people that were that big.
As far as guys taking them down, linebackers maybe? Yeah,
if you're getting hit by guys who are 6'7 and 300 pounds all day long,
right.
Like, you know, it's obviously going to have more of a tear on your body the same way it would doing anything too much. Like the more you do it, the more it's going to hurt you over time. Like, I wonder if back then there just weren't as many big guys.
You know, that would be
the speed changed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The way like these safeties are flying up the field and just putting a lick on you is different than it used to be.
And I guess cornerbacks and safeties are a little bigger than they used to be too.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. You know, you just look at it like running backs back in the 90s and, you know, even the early 2000s, you got guys like LaDainian Tomlinson. The guy was no bigger than any of these running backs now.
No.
And he carried the ball over, what, we just looked it up the other day.
Well, he got fucked up, though. Tomlinson got injured constantly, including in college.
He did get injured.
But you're right, it didn't put him down.
Yeah.
He came back.
Right.
That's the weird part. Like, it would be interesting if somebody ever actually looked into that and saw, like, running back injuries through the decades. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't really remember, like, major injuries going all the way back to, like, O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Guy's running for 2,000 yards. It's not like anybody who played the Bills didn't know that O.J. Simpson was going to carry the ball. They had Joe Ferguson to throw the ball. They didn't have a passing game. I honestly feel like,
with my poor memory of it, that there were less injuries overall back then.
That's true.
Like, when O.J. played?
Yeah. Like, well, no, but even, like, through the Super Bowl era,
it would have been horrible.
Jim Kelly, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know exactly what you're saying. Like, did Jim Kelly get seriously injured? Like, I know he missed his games.
Knee, he had some of those knee, he had a couple of really bad knee injuries.
Did he miss a season, or do you remember? Or like,
I don't remember him missing a season, but
me neither.
The comeback year, 92, when we beat Houston in the playoffs, that's when Jim injured his knee bad.
Frank Wright came in.
And he had to miss, like, the last couple of regular season games, and then that was the wild card.
Right.
So I remember that.
Yeah.
He injured his knee in the Super Bowl against Dallas, and he got taken out for the rest of the game, and Frank Reich had a finish.
I mean, there's horrific injuries. Like, Joe Theismann got hurt really bad.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So there were bad injuries, but like you said, I don't know if they just don't stand out because I don't remember. It's really hard to gauge. I think it's a
combination.
But yeah, it does seem like this year, especially, man, running backs are dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Not all of them, like, for the season either.
How much do we have to attest to the artificial turf, too? The guys didn't play on artificial turf
much back then.
I mean, in the 90s, it started becoming a thing, but it wasn't big like it is now.
Well, and they keep changing it, too.
And that's something worth talking about, too. I mean, I don't know how much we're going to get into it, but like you talked about with your arm, when you hurt your arm, that it's almost like there's a moment where you've done enough damage to it, you tweak it, but it isn't quite gone yet, and then it finally snaps, right? I wonder if the action of running on that artificial turf and falling on that artificial turf, if it's just a slow buildup until finally you get to that breaking point, and it might not be on turf then.
Right.
It might be on grass. But what is the toll on the body playing on a much harder field than a grass field?
Well, it's funny because me and Jason, I think one day, just for some reason,
sort of an
got
intangible
on the subject.
Thing at this point.
Yeah, and we got on the subject because there are stadiums that are considered more dangerous than others. But like the 10 stadiums with the least amount of injuries, 7 of them are artificial turf.
Right.
3 are grass. So, again, I don't know if it's so much.
But most of the most dangerous ones are also turf, right?
Yeah. Out of the 10 worst, I think 8 are turf and 2 are grass.
Yeah, Detroit was one last year.
Yeah.
Where we went into it, and they were one of the top, if not the top in the league, of knee injuries. And lo and behold, fucking Von Miller gets injured there.
Right. Well, and you have, you have a variety of different types of turf that people are using. And it's entirely possible that the reason it's such a spectrum of turf is that there's some really good ones and some really bad
ones.
Well,
that's what I was thinking.
Whereas grass, it's more reliant on whether you're going to have a good field or not. Like, it's just that day, is it raining?
Yeah, we talked about Chicago. You know, can be kind of messy there.
Yeah, we've seen Lambeau, a few of them. Yeah.
Lambeau can be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're, you know, they're a lot of these. So the Bills' new stadium, they're going to natural grass.
Right.
AKA sod.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know much about, you know, sodding fields and stuff like that either.
The only thing I know about sod is he fought Superman. That's the only thing I remember.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
General Sod.
General Sod.
Jesus. This is your dad here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But I mean, honestly, though, like, we've watched some games throughout the years with, these fields being sodded.
Right.
And being just in the dirt dog shape.
Oh, yeah.
The sod where guys have to constantly go. You've seen it, dude. How many times do these guys have to go and change the their spike depth?
How about, like, dirt patches all over the fucking field because they couldn't keep it moist?
Keep it alive.
Or whatever. Yeah.
No, for real. I mean, so you're not buying a pass with, you know, grass either, or AKA sod.
No.
Well, and that's, again, what do you have for a cost, right? Like, it's almost impossible to know.
Right.
Because maybe on a slippery grass field could hurt yourself more easily, but what's doing more damage to your body over time? You know what
I mean?
Like,
the
you
funny
don't know.
Thing is, right? I heard they're working on a new turf that mixes in plastic fibers with natural grass.
Okay.
So it's a natural grass field, but it's easier to maintain.
With dirt?
Yeah,
like
with
dirt?
Real dirt, like dirt and real grass.
Okay.
But it's mixed in with
some,
like,
sort of a composite fiber to hold it all together better.
Yeah, like a plastic fiber.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will get there, you know, but I don't think it's ever going to be like Nick Chubb. He could have been standing in a parking lot. You hit somebody's knee like that.
Well, that
doesn't matter.
With a car.
Yeah, you could be in a swimming pool.
You hit anyone's knee with a car, man, they're fucked.
If your leg goes bent the way his gets bent, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're standing on. Yeah, for sure.
There's just certain injuries you just can't prevent from happening,
right,
dude.
It's just
going to
happen.
What the
it's a dangerous damn game, man.
Yeah. It really is.
Helmet to helmet hits are still going to be helmet to helmet hits no matter what field you're on.
And I'm that gross person that, like, when I hear a hit's real bad, I have to go look at it. Like, and
I kind of went looking for it.
I went on YouTube digging for it and then regretted it because it was like, oh, my God.
What was your reaction when you saw it?
Oh, man. It's gross.
Like,
it's very cringy.
Yeah.
Because I can just, like, I saw comments of people saying that they could hear him screaming from the field, and that's the part that really got me. It's like, oh, man, that must have fucking been hard.
You know what the weirdest thing about that hit was? And I saw the whole thing happening live. I couldn't see.
Well,
nobody
didn't show a replay.
Right. And then you couldn't really see what happened. But the weird thing is he hits the ground and he immediately goes like this and grabs his leg, right?
Right.
Now I'm looking at his leg and it doesn't look broke.
Right.
Nothing looks deformed. There's nothing messed out. And it took him a good 30 seconds until I think he realized what happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
then,
even
the shock of the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they show him on the cart, man, and I'm thinking, I'm probably fucking bawling my eyes out. And he's like, whatever. Like, you know, I don't know if they gave him something for the pain or whatever, but that had to fucking hurt. I mean, I just absolutely
hurt. If they didn't give him anything for the pain, I'm sure when he gets back into the
he's going to let it go, yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to think, like, number one, when your knee gets bent like that, right, or your leg, so every ligament possible in that area is completely torn. It's gone.
It's got to be.
The second thing is there's a pretty high chance your kneecap is dislocated.
Yeah.
Or broken.
Right. You know,
it
I
can
mean,
shear right off.
They
right.
talked to two surgeries.
Ugh.
Yep, two separate surgeries.
Now, is that type of leg injury worse than Alex Smith's?
Dude, I don't know.
When he broke, like, his tibia, fibia, the whole thing shattered.
Yeah,
his leg.
I don't know.
Steel rods.
It was amazing that he even came back to play.
How do you
walk? I'm not sure why.
It took him a long time before he could walk normal.
Oh, yeah. It was like a year and a half before he played football again.
I just can't. Which pain is the worst?
I don't know, dude. Broken bones are bad.
Bones? Like, your bones just snapping, or all your ligaments and your knee just like going bye-bye?
I forgot about Alex Smith. That was horrible.
Right.
That was terrible.
All right, well, moving on from that.
So yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our picks and stuff.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
All right, so
we covered that.
So Sunday, 1 o'clocker,
right? Correct, 1 o'clock Sunday.
In Washington.
Washington.
Bills.
Hopefully the Commanders. Weather. I've heard different things, like the weather might stay away
right.
until after the game maybe, or early in the morning showers and then clear up. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I hope the weather's decent. I think it favors us over them to have good weather.
I also will pick the Bills being favored in this game, like it's a home game for them. Reason being, guys, is Washington has the lowest attendance of any NFL team right now. Bills travel well.
Especially there. It's not that far.
Not that far. There's a lot of fans also in that area. I say we probably are going to have a good 30, 40,000 people there.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So that's.
Now they did sell out, by the way. Like, was also the first time in a while that they sold out. So
what does that tell you?
Yeah. The Bills fans probably bought them up.
And if I'm not mistaken, doesn't that stadium hold like 85,000?
Oh, I don't even know.
So you may have a close 50,000 Bills there, man.
Wow. That would be something, wouldn't it?
For real. I mean, that's high chance.
It's happened. I mean, it's happened at other games.
Right. So that being said, if we do have that type of advantage, like we've had in other stadiums before, I think that's going to be big for us. So, especially in a stadium that none of these guys played in before.
I think the odds makers have given the Bills 6.5-point advantage. I remember, isn't it something like that?
I believe so, yeah. If you want to look it up, Jeff, that would be cool.
Okay.
What I'll do is I will go ahead and I'll start it off with my prediction here. I will go with do you want me to do picks as far as offensive player, defensive player? Or do you
and
want me
score.
To and score?
Just do all of it.
All of it?
Yep.
All right.
Nice.
I ain't scared.
Mm-hmm. I ain't scared.
All right. Offensive player of the game. I'm going to go. I want to go Gabe Davis. I think he's going to continue to have another big week.
Prick. No,
is that who you're going to go with?
That's what I was going to go
with.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. Well, I will. I got to bring this up too. I forgot about this earlier. What the amazing part to me is, it's not only Josh Allen's accuracy this year, which he is leading the league in accuracy, dropped passes.
They did
adjust that one, and I think it's on Dawson Knox. So the Buffalo Bills in 2023 now have one dropped pass in two games. Two years ago, they had 33, I believe it was. Last year, they had 31.
Yeah.
So having one dropped pass in the first two games, small sample size, I get it. But if it's that one pass to Dawson Knox I'm thinking about that was in the end zone.
Yeah.
That was like really, that would have been an impossible catch. Like, if he had caught that, it would have been fucking huge.
Yeah, no doubt.
So as far as I know, that's it. One drop pass. It was on Dawson Knox. I'm not sure it was that pass. So Gabe Davis, historically, we've ragged on him about catching passes. No problem this year.
That's why I'm going with Gabe this game. I think he's going
to
continue to have a good week like he did against the Raiders. And then defensively, I'm gonna go with my man Ed Oliver. I think he's gonna have a good game this week. He's
playing well.
He's playing well. He's starting to really show the type of player he can be in the middle. So I'm going Ed. As far as the score, I'm gonna go. I don't want to go too crazy here, fellas.
Right.
So I'm gonna go 27-17 Bilsch.
Okay. Well,
very reasonable.
Since you took away my plan for offensive player, I'm going to do something a little different, and I'm going to say I want to give this to our run core. I don't want it to be one player. I want our running backs to do awesome this game because they really impressed me
as
this
last whole.
Game as a unit.
Nice.
They really impressed me, you know, hitting all the different points that they needed to achieve different goals. So I want to see them do it again. As far as defensive player, I guess I'll go with Micah Hyde.
Oh, there you
That's
go.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I hope he has a great game. What about score?
We talked about this before the game. I don't know if we mentioned that on the podcast, but I'm going to go 35-17.
Good score.
Nice.
Good score.
Nice, Jay.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that I think we were both almost on the exact same page.
Yeah, like we both were thinking the exact same score.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, by the way, 6.5 points is the advantage right now. They're giving the Bills. 44 is the over and under. And I think if the Commanders could muster like 13 to 17 points, it'll be over.
Yeah.
I think the Bills will cover no problem. I think offensively, I think what I would like to see is Diggs have a big game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's there. He has a touchdown, decent yards. I think he's 160, 180. He's on pace for like 1,400 yards. So he's still doing well. But I really would love to see him take over a game, maybe get a couple of touchdowns, maybe 130, 150 yards, something like that, you know, 10, 12 catches.
That'd be solid.
Take over the game and just have them two clicking again. I think it'd be good for him. It'd be good for the team. On defense, you know, I love the linemen. I really do, but I want to see Trey White come down with an interception this week. I really do.
Yeah,
I want to see some tight coverage.
He's due.
Did he do well last week? I don't really remember.
He was solid. I don't know if they even threw the ball his way a bunch or anything like that. But I think he was better than like the Jets game. He seemed like he was
lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah, it seemed like he was a step behind.
Yeah, so he's due a game where it's like, okay, there's Trey White.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Where you can visually see.
Right.
Like something that he did on the field that you know he's back.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're all waiting for that confirmation.
Yeah.
And that's why I picked him.
I'm hoping that comes.
Yeah, and that's why I picked him against the Raiders. I really wanted to see Trey be like, all right, there's Trey. That's the guy we thought he was, you know?
Right. So, yeah, very cool.
Keep picking him until it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your score, Jeff?
Dude, I'm going to go 31-13.
31-13.
I was giving him more points earlier when we talked. But honestly, the more I think about this game, the fact that Washington truly hasn't faced any real competition,
right?
Especially on defense. I don't think Denver's defense is very good at all, and Arizona's definitely not. So
you're going under then?
I'm going total points under. Yeah. Unless the Bills outscore.
Well, 31-13, that is 44.
That's 44. That is the line.
So you're on the line.
Yeah. So
we'll you're going to bet that? You're going to bet it?
If I did, I'd probably take the over on the fact I think the Bills, if anything, are going to score more.
Yeah, you got to take the over.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be scared.
Never happen. Never.
All right, anything else, fellas?
I think that's it, dude.
I think we covered it all.
No, that's good. I'm looking forward to this game, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
I want. This is where I feel like we're going to start that winning streak.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
Yeah, last week, man, if that's our jump-off point, yeah, we could have a nice long winning streak going.
I think so.
I really think we need to.
Yes.
I think it would be really nice to get the season well on the road to the outcome we all think they're capable of getting to.
I think it's a sad thing to say, but I wonder it was just going to be our next division game. You know what I mean? Like the next time
it's going to be big.
That wild Bills bullshit that happens every time we fucking play a division game.
Yeah.
Well, this is where like if we can roll fairly solid against Washington, you know, the next week we had it at back home against Miami. So
in a home game, that's going to be loud and proud.
Yeah,
man.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
Yes, you will.
And I am excited for that one as well.
Yeah, that should be huge.
Yeah. All right. Jay, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
You can find us on social media at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to our podcast wherever you prefer to. We're pretty much everywhere.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And hopefully this will be out. We don't have any recording problems this time.
No,
so.
Yeah, if this goes south, you're never going to know.
Yeah, you'll never hear it. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. And I just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills. Bills.